Thank you and good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. I'm really excited about this sermon series, Speak Freely. So much freedom. I could share anything up here and it fits, right? So, I'm going to share two things with you this morning that I've never done before prior to this summer. Kind of cool summer for me, okay? First of all, saw a shuttle launch down in Cocoa Beach, Florida. This was not even planned, but we got to Cocoa Beach, our family, and as we're checking in, the lady says, oh, by the way, there's going to be a shuttle launch. You might hear it. It's somewhere between 11 at night and 3 in the morning. I'm like, okay. Well, we've been driving since 5 in the morning, but how often does a person from Ohio have a chance to see a shuttle launch? I'd never had. And so I said, well, we got to find a way to be a part of that. So set an alarm, got up at 2:30 in the morning, saw the thing launch through the sky and boosters fell off. It was really, really cool. I thought about bringing some pictures. You know, I didn't get any pictures of that, but a vacation, because that fits into speaking freely. And you guys are interested in lots of things that I do, I'm sure. The other thing that I did this summer, now this thing, you might be surprised. When I tell you what it is, you might think, really, Justin, you've never done that? But it's true, I never had until about a month and a half ago. You ready for this? I joined Instagram. I did. So I never thought I would join Instagram, but I don't know why that day. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join Instagram. For those of you that aren't familiar, Instagram is a social media platform where you just kind of share your pictures. And so what else did I need in my life? Another social media outlet? Join Instagram. Let me tell you how it's been going so far. I have 11 posts so far, and it's been going okay. You're trying to collect the hearts, right? So on Facebook, it's likes. On Instagram, it's the hearts. And so I wasn't sure. I felt a little awkward about pictures. What do I put up? I don't know. So I just started with the low-hanging fruit, just took some pictures of my kids, put it up, and the hearts were coming in like mad. And I'm like, all right, I got this, right? It'd been a few days, and then I thought, all right, well, I don't know what's next, but I hadn't posted in a while, and so I'm looking around. It's right before dinner. My wife had cut up this beautiful fruit salad sitting in a bowl. And I thought, that looks like an Instagram post right there. So I took a picture of that, threw it up on Instagram. I have to tell you, that was not a hit. Didn't get too many hearts back from that. So, sharing freely with you guys this morning. You know, Instagram's probably not the most important thing we could be talking about, right? We don't have to be on Instagram. You might not be on Instagram, and that's okay. If you are, though, feel free to follow me and give some more hearts my way. But what is more important is sharing our faith pictures with others, right? Because we are called to do that. That's something that Jesus asked us to do. In fact, one of the last things, and the last thing he told his disciples was this in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. He said to his disciples, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Disciples have been sharing their faith pictures for 2,000 years. And if it wasn't for them sharing their faith picture, we wouldn't be here this morning in a church talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus. I just want to take a moment this morning to have you think about who was it that shared their faith picture with you for the first time. Bring their image, their face into your mind. Perhaps it was a parent, perhaps it was a sibling, perhaps a friend. Maybe as a pastor that somehow you found yourself in church, or maybe he was a neighbor of yours. Who was that person that shared their faith picture with you for the first time? How are you doing sharing your faith picture with others? How's it going for you? See, because if you're like most Christians, my Instagram story is kind of similar to your faith picture sharing story. You know, there's some awkwardness involved. There's some fear, like, I don't know what to share here. I'm not sure about this. There's all these things that are connected, and some of us just don't want to engage with the thing. And we're not on Instagram. We're not on face sharing. We're not doing any of that. How's it going for you? You see, Jesus says in Matthew 4:19, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will help you to learn. I will cause you to be somebody that shares their faith pictures with others. We've been commanded to do it. But a lot of times we just don't, do we? You see, I believe the number one issue facing the church in America today is the fact that we're not sharing our faith pictures with others. We've allowed the culture to even convince us that we shouldn't even be doing it. Recent surveys of the younger generations believe that it's wrong to share your faith picture with somebody else. Even believers, some believers believe this. You see, but I come back to that verse in Matthew 4:19. It says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I ask this question, if you're not fishing, what does it mean? You see, at some point we have to say that if we're not fishing, we're not following. Now, I can't look at your life or my life and say, well, I've been with you for 5 minutes and I haven't seen you share your faith picture with anybody, so you must not be following Jesus. No, we can't do that. That's ridiculous. But if we were with somebody for 50 years and we never saw them fish, we never saw them share their faith story with somebody else, and they said, no, I'm following Jesus, at some point we would need to investigate and have a conversation about, well, you say one thing, but I don't see this thing. And Jesus said, it's an evidence that you'd be following me. Sharing our faith is an essential part of following Christ. How's it going for you? You know what I feel in the room right now? Energy is plummeted. Guilt is like floating around everywhere. We're not here for that. If that's how you're feeling right now, I am not here to make you feel guilty. I don't want you to feel guilty. I'm not bringing this topic up so that you will feel guilt about it and go home and think, man, I'm just not a good Christian. I'm not following. I don't know what to do. And, you know, any of that. What I want to help us with this morning is I want to change what it looks like for you to share your faith picture. One, if you're not doing it, a change would be that you start doing it. But two, most of us, when we think about sharing our faith pictures, we think about all sorts of awkwardness and other people that we don't want to be like in any sort of way. Right? So we think about people that maybe are standing on a street corner and proclaiming the gospel or telling people they're going to hell, and we think, I don't want any part of that. Maybe we think of people that we've seen or interacted with in the past who they've communicated about Christ, but we've seen them do it and they manipulate a conversation to get it in there, and it becomes really awkward really quickly. We don't want any part of that. You see, but how do we share our faith pictures in ways that draw people in to who Jesus is, and not only who he is, but who he is in us, so that they are interested in following him, interested in knowing more about him? I want to share three principles with you this morning about that. But, you know, we'll get to those three principles. One of them that's not a principle, but if you only remember one thing from our time together this morning, I want you to remember this. Our faith pictures are meant to be shared with those that we love. Your faith picture is meant to be shared with those that you love. If you don't love them, don't share your faith picture with them. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to have been in relationship a long time with them to share our faith picture with them. I've shared my faith picture with people on planes that I just met 10 minutes ago. But I shared it from a place of love and a place of conversation where we had connected enough where I knew that my heart was for them to share this faith picture. I wasn't sharing it with them so that, you know, I could feel good and check that box off on my Christian checklist. Pictures are meant to be shared with those that we love. Let's dig a little deeper into this verse that we've been tossing around a little bit, Matthew 4:19. I want to read what's around it with you because I think it informs kind of how we feel about sharing our faith with others. It gives us an image and a picture that we see from Scripture, and then we try to compare ourselves to it. So we'll just look at that together. Matthew 4:18 through 20. It says this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. You ever wondered what's going on here? I mean, I've shared my faith picture a number of times. I've never had this response. Right, because in this image, this picture that we get, it's kind of like Jesus is walking along beside the sea. He sees a couple fishermen, and he says, "Hey, come follow me." And they say, "Yes, we will follow." What is that? Is that what's expected of us? Is that what we expect when we share our faith picture with somebody else, is that we're going to get that response? You see, a lot of times we don't understand the bigger picture of what's happening. And so we get an image or an understanding of what we should be aiming for when we share our faith picture with others. I want to take us to John. So there are four different gospels, right? So there's four different looks at Jesus' life, perspectives. And they each start at a different place. And so John actually starts the earliest. And so we're going to get some of the backstory of the story that Matthew shares with us in Matthew 4. And we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42 together. And so again, to set this up, this is happening before what we just read. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42 begins like this. "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples." So John the Baptist, okay, to clarify. "When he saw Jesus passing by, when John saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the disciples heard him say that, they followed Jesus." And so they heard something from somebody they trusted, from somebody they were already following. Hey, there's the Lamb of God. And they said, "I'm going to follow him." Turning around, so Jesus is still walking, turning around, he sees them following. And he asks, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And so they went out and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had begun following Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. See what's happening here? I want us to imagine, put yourself on that seashore. Put yourself in that place where Jesus and John and these men were. And imagine you're one of John's disciples. You've been following John around. You've been learning from him. You believe in who he is and what he says. And he sees Jesus walking by and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And you are so interested that you begin to follow Jesus. Literally, you're walking behind him. And Jesus notices, and he's like, what do you want? And you're just not sure where to go with that question. And so you say, "Well, where are you staying?" He says, "Oh, well, we'll come and see." And a relationship begins between you and Jesus that began initially because someone you trusted shared something about Jesus. Our first principle this morning: we need to share our life before we share our faith. See, many Christians believe that, well, my job is to get people into the church and Pastor Dave's job is to get them to Christ. That's not exactly right. You know, I tell people, don't invite people to church until you've invited them into your lives. That's not that you should never do that, but as a principle, I want to invite people into my life, into my living room, into my home, and begin a relationship with them before I even think about inviting them to church. Because I want to have that foundation through which we can share about who we are and what we know. Now, what we just read in John happened 8 months to a year before the Matthew passage. And so not only did they begin to follow Jesus for that afternoon, but they began to follow him day after day. They went from there up to the city of Galilee, or up to Cana rather, where we see Jesus' first miracle, changing the water into wine. And they were with him. Imagine all the time that they spent getting to know Jesus. Imagine those times that we see in the scriptures, but also those times that we don't get to see. The times at night where they're sitting around a fire, talking about what happened that day. The times when they're just walking from place to place, with nothing to do but walk and look and talk. You see, Jesus was opening up his life to them. And the thing about it is, for us as Americans today, this is sometimes the biggest obstacle that we have, because we don't feel like we have time to open our life to anybody. Have you seen my schedule lately? Well, you've seen my, I start Instagram, so mine's not that bad. But sometimes it is. But we know about our schedules, right? Well, if we don't have time to open up our lives for non-believers, then essentially we're saying we don't have time to share our faith picture. And I'll tell you about a story when I was in that place. A number of years ago, my family and I were missionaries in Thailand, and we had sold everything we had. We moved. We'd left everything. We're sitting there. We'd about 6 months in, and it was a hard 2 weeks. And I didn't even know 2 weeks had gone by, but it had gone by. And I'm out there in the driveway praying to God at night, looking up at the stars. And I realized, because my daughter had been in the hospital, because our car was breaking down, because my boss was upset with me at work and things weren't going well, that I hadn't gone across the street and seen my neighbor, who was my best friend there, a Thai man and his family. I hadn't seen them in over 2 weeks. As I'm praying to God, and realizing that, and he's bringing that to mind, I felt like he said to me, "Justin, if you don't have time for song, what are you doing here? If we don't have time for the lost in our lives, what are we doing with our lives?" You see, because as believers, this is the mission that God has given to us. We can know him better. We can know the word better. We can sin less in heaven, and we'll do all those things later. But right now, we're here because God has called us to reach and impact those that don't know him for Christ. And you know what I did when he said that to me? "If you don't have time for song, what are you doing here?" I started to justify. They're saying, yeah, she's been in the hospital, things at work. I'm just trying to survive here. And you know, God put his finger on my justifications and he said, "Justin, are you going to follow me? Are you not?" We have to share our lives before we share our faith. And the next night, as many nights a week, Song invited me over to sing karaoke with him, which was a big thing in Thailand. Now, I need to give you the mental picture of this. Okay, picture your neighborhood, okay? If you live out in the country, picture a neighborhood, okay? Picture somebody having a big picnic table right in their driveway, big speakers, and a karaoke machine. And Song loved for me to sing Hotel California for him. "Justin, come sing Hotel California." I haven't listened to that song since I've been back, because I sang it so many times. But I went. And we built a friendship. He became my best friend in Thailand, still one of my best friends to this day. And the thing I learned about sharing my life before I shared my faith is that when I share my life first, I can share my faith really easily. Because there are lots of things that friends share that's important to one friend but not that important to another. And so I just noticed that sometimes Song would be sharing things with me that honestly I was happy to listen because he's my friend, but I really didn't care much about it. And then I started to do that. So I started to share things with him that I figured, you know, he probably doesn't care about this, but it's really important to me. So I would share about my quiet times. I would share about things that I was thinking about related to God. And he would listen and engage. But at some level, I knew he wasn't interested. But we're friends. That's what friends do, right? We share what's important to us, and the other friend listens. And so I did that. In relationships, sharing your faith picture is easy, but it's not always that simple. Principle number two, God is willing to use you and will use you if you're willing to step out. Now, unfortunately, all of us don't have big, dynamic, charismatic personalities. I don't. A lot of us aren't very relational. You know, when Dave says things like it's all about relationships, there's some people in here who are like, oh, I'm not sure. I have enough of those. I don't want any more of those. I'd rather be by myself right now. I can relate to all that. There was a time in my life when I was really scared to talk to people, and I didn't want to be around many people. And at that time in my life, my job was to plant a campus ministry on a campus in Texas. And so I'd been trained different ways to do this, so I just had to go up to people and start engaging with them because I didn't know anyone there. I wasn't a student, so I didn't have classes. And so I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to walk around campus and share and just ask people to get the conversation started. Hey, taking a survey of how many Ten Commandments people can name. Okay, you know, not the coolest thing ever, but so I pray that morning when I'm getting ready to go to campus, get there, start walking towards somebody. I'm like, all right, I'll share with this guy, get close, and just kind of turn off. I was scared. I was scared of looking stupid. I was scared of being judged as one of the weird Christian-y people. I was scared of so many things. And so I started to just walk around campus and praying and really wrestling with God. God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Help me. And I tried a couple more times that day and had the same result. And so I went home and next morning, same thing, got up, prayed, went to campus, and the exact same thing happened 3 or 4 days in a row. I'm becoming desperate before God. I'm walking around campus that next day, crying out to God, God, please, help me. Help me figure out how I can do this. And God says to me, well, Justin, just go play ping pong. I'm like, God, I'm trying to plan a campus ministry for you. I don't have time for ping pong right now. Not really. But I thought, ping pong, that's weird. Well, there's this room where people play ping pong down the student union. And I thought, well, okay, I'll go play ping pong. I can do that. So I just started to play. And as I started to play, started to learn some guys' names. Hey, what's your name? What's your major? And they'd start asking me. And before I knew it, I had 3 or 4 friends of just guys that I played ping pong with. A couple weeks later, we're just talking. I'm sharing about who I am and why I'm in Texas and I'm from Ohio. And what is that about? And I started to share my faith picture with my friends. And then they started to be interested in that, interested in Jesus and wanting to follow him. And then we started to have a Bible study together. And then from that Bible study, we started to invite other people. And before we knew it, there was a ministry that had been developed. Not because of me, but because I was willing to step out. I kept showing up even though I was afraid. And I kept calling out to God, God, please use me. And that was really the first time that I began to develop something I call chicken evangelism. And chicken evangelism is a great place to start. It's not a great place to end up, but it's an okay place to start. Chicken evangelism is I just pray to God. God, you know I'm kind of afraid of people. You know I don't like this. But I know that you have changed my life and other people need you. And what you know and that I don't is that there's people calling out to you right now that need to know who you are. Would you just bring them to me? And as I started praying that, God started doing that. People would just come to me. People I didn't know. He would sit me next to people on planes. They would just share their heart as I just engaged them personally, just asking them regular, everyday questions. And before I knew it, there was an opening where it was very appropriate for me to begin to share my faith picture with them. It was amazing what God would do if I was willing to step out. I think you'll find the same. God cares more about others hearing about him than we do. And we should care a lot more. See, a lot of people don't even know their neighbors. And that's hard, right? I mean, I get it. Our culture, we have the garage monster that swallows people up when they get home from work. How do I get over there and talk to them without just knocking on their door and being like, hey, I'm your neighbor, I want to talk to you? Well, there's different ways of doing it. Now, for me, when we moved back from Thailand, totally different cultures, a lot more communal over there. You know, I have a resident extrovert in my family, my daughter. And so I thought, well, okay, One day we're out in the backyard. I'd been painting the house and I was cleaning the brushes and noticed there were some kids next door that were out and some adults. And I said to my daughter, I said, hey, why don't you go over and meet them? And she looks, she says, Dad, I can't. I said, well, why not? She said, well, they're cutting grass. And I was like, oh, okay. I see that. So I just keep cleaning my brushes. About 5-10 minutes later, Elise says to me, Dad, now's my chance. Well, I'd totally forgotten. I'm like, for what? What's going on? She said, Dad, they're done cutting grass. I'm going to go meet them. I said, okay. So she runs over and starts playing with the kids. And a few minutes later, I walk over and start talking to the homeowner. And to be honest with you, whenever I see them out, I feel God prompting me to walk over there and talk to them and engage with them. And almost all the time, I don't want to go. Just being honest and real with you. Because I think, oh, what am I going to say? I don't know how this is going to go. But at this point, we're friends. We have them over to our house to eat. They have us over to their house. We're sharing our faith pictures with them, and they're responding. They're not yet in the kingdom, but they're responding. You see, when we're willing to just step out little by little, God responds, and he uses us. Third principle, your pictures are powerful, but they are not the power. So our faith pictures are powerful, but they're not the power that's going to change people. You know, Matthew 4:19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. To me, that's a definition of a disciple right there. Come follow me, a disciple follows Jesus, and I will make you, a disciple is changed by Jesus, fishers of men. A disciple engages in the mission of Jesus. Follows Jesus, is being changed by Jesus, and is engaging in the mission of Jesus. Person who follows Jesus has a powerful life to be lived in front of others. A picture of a changed life is powerful. Back to Thailand, about 8 months after being there and relating to Song and struggling and not being sure if anything was getting through, Song invites me and Elise to go to meet a friend of his on a Saturday morning. Honestly, it was one of the last things I wanted to do. As I pray, I said, okay, I'll go. And so we go, and we're sitting there, and they're eating and talking, and my Thai is such that I'm just understanding about 70%, 60, 70% of what they're saying. My daughter's two. I'm trying to keep her from wrecking the house. And as I'm doing that, I hear Song say to his friend, well, it's been so good getting to know Justin and his family. My family's been learning so much from them. I'm like, oh, now I'm trying to get 100% of what he's saying. And he says, yeah, we've learned so much about parenting. And he's talking to us about God and Jesus. And it's really interesting. I've never heard much about him before. And I realized at that time, even though I felt like things were bouncing off and nothing was getting through, that they were seeing and experiencing the power of life, the power of a gospel-centered life lived out before them. And it's different. It's just different than what our non-Christians experience, non-Christian friends experience. The amazing thing to me is that Jesus and God position us in the lives of non-Christians intentionally. One of my favorite verses, Acts 17:26, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. And don't miss this. This means that God has looked across all of eternity and determined the time for you to be on earth. So the time that you were born till the time that you die, God has determined this is the best time for you to be here. And not only did he do that, he determined the exact places where you should live. And the verse goes on to say that he determined that so that we might reach out to him and find him, and so that others would know him. And so that your neighbors are not your neighbors by accident. God has positioned you there intentionally. Your coworkers are not working beside you by accident. God has positioned you there intentionally. Because God desires that his disciples are engaging in relationships with those around them and modeling the life of the gospel. Because the gospel is the true power of God. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not quite clear on what the gospel is or how it's supposed to change you. The gospel changes us profoundly because as we begin to follow Jesus, he begins to bring freedom into our lives. This sin, this stuff that, you know, we want to be more like Christ. We want to love our wives better, our husbands. We want to parent better. But we just keep failing and messing up. When Jesus came and lived a perfect life for us that we might be freed from sin, that it's no longer our master, but that we can have freedom to follow who he is and to love as he loved. And as he changes us and continues to change us, our lives and the gospel movement in our lives speaks profoundly to those around us. But it only speaks profoundly if we are able to be in relationship with them. Three principles. First one, share your life before you share your faith. If you are willing to step out, God is going to use you. It's the second one. Third one, your pictures are powerful, but they aren't the power. And we share our life with share our faith pictures with those that we love. You can do this. So I hope that you guys, in hearing some of my stories and some of the ways that God has used me, somebody who carries fear around all the time, and who's not a great people person, but is committed to following Jesus, how God has used me. If he uses me, he'll use you. And we don't have to be weird. We just have to learn to make friends and invite people into our lives and to love them the way that Jesus loved and to be open about who we are and who Jesus is in our lives and what he's doing in us. You can do it. So what does it look like for you? I want you to think about right now, where is God asking you to engage a little more? Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe you don't know your neighbors. Maybe you don't even know their names. Maybe you know their names but have never had a real conversation with them. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe you've been working around people for years and you have a friendship, but you've never actually shared about Jesus or this faith picture of yours that's important to you. Maybe it's at school or somewhere else. What is God asking you to do? How can you be responsive to sharing our faith picture with others? And I promise you, as you do that, you're probably not going to be as awkward as my fruit salad picture on Instagram. You're going to get a lot more hearts coming back at you. Let's pray.